Blog Talk Radio.
The whole liberation of oppressed people in the United States has to do not with climbing up some ladder to success, not for asking to be just like Rockefeller or just like DuPont or just like Ford, because that would only continue the oppression and exploitation of oppressed people in the United States, and specifically African people born and raised in the United States. Socialism is an integral part of building social justice on this planet. The condition of my...
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, to whom all praise is due, whom we forever thank for giving us the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as our leader, teacher, and guide. And I specifically, ladies and gentlemen, and brothers and sisters, open up like that because I am a representative of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And were it not for him, you and I wouldn't be here today. In order for you and me to devise some kind of method or strategy to offset some of the events or a repetition of the events that have taken place here in Los Angeles recently, we have to go to the root. We have to go to the cause. Dealing with the condition itself is not enough. We have to get to the cause of it all, or the root of it all. And it is because of our effort toward getting straight to the root that people oftentimes think we are dealing in hate. But first, I would like to congratulate and give praise to the Negro, so-called Negro leaders and so-called Negro organizations. And excuse me if I say so-called, it's hard for me to just outright say Negro when I know what that word Negro really means. The person whom you have come to know as Ronald Stokes, we know him as Brother Ronald, one of the most religious persons who displayed the highest form of morals of any black person anywhere on this earth. And as one of the previous speakers pointed out who knew him, everyone who knew him had to give him credit for being a good man, a clean man, an intelligent man, and an innocent man when he was murdered. The Negro, so-called Negro organizations and leaders should be given great credit for their failure or refusal to let the white man divide them and use them one against the other during this crisis. As Reverend Wilfred Wilson pointed out, I think it was 8 years ago today that the Supreme Court handed down the desegregation decision. And despite the fact that 8 years have gone past, that decision hasn't been implemented yet. I don't have that much faith. I don't have that much confidence, I don't have that much patience, and I don't have that much ignorance if the Supreme Court, which is the highest law-making body in the country, can pass a decision, can't get even 8% compliance within 8 years because it's for black people, then my patience has run out. Wow. When black people who are being oppressed become impatient, they say that's emotional. Please. When black people who are being deprived of their citizenship, not only of their civil rights, but their human rights, become impatient, become fed up, don't want to wait any longer, then they say that's emotional. The Negro, so-called Negro leaders and organizations should be praised. They should be congratulated. They should be complimented. Because out of all of them combined, the white man has not yet found one who will play the role of Uncle Tom. But yet he has found no Tom, no puppet, no parrot who is still dumb enough in 1962 to represent the injustices that he's afflicting against our people. We don't care what your religion is. We don't care what organization you belong to. We don't care how far in school you went or didn't go. We don't care what kind of job you have. We have to give you credit for shocking the white man by not letting him divide you and use you one against the other. In the past, the greatest weapon the white man has had has been his ability to divide and conquer. As Jackie Robinson pointed out beautifully on the television last night, 4/5 of the world isn't white. Isn't that what Jackie said? And if 4/5 of the world is dark, how is it possible for 1/5 to rule, oppress, exploit, dominate, and brutalize the 4/5 who are in the majority?
How do they do it?
Divide and conquer. If I take my hand and slap you, you don't even feel it. It might sting you because these digits are separated. But all I have to do to put you back in your place is bring those digits together. This is what the white man has done to you and me. He has divided us and used us one against the other. But today, thanks to Allah, you can say thanks to God or thanks to Jesus or thanks to Jehovah, whatever you want. But as a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we have been taught to say thanks to Allah. And that's what Jesus said. Jesus called on Allah. He said, Allah, Allah, lama asabatani. I believe what's good for Jesus is good for you. If Allah was good enough for Jesus to call upon, I think he should be good enough for you to call upon. Since the so-called Negro community has shot the white man by resisting all efforts to divide us, I think that you and I should continue to shock him by staying and working together in unity. Despite religious, political, economic, or educational, or social differences, let us remember that we are not brutalized because we're Baptist. We're not brutalized because we're Methodist. We're not brutalized because we're Muslim. We're not brutalized because we're Catholic. We're brutalized because we are black people in America. Hey, your mother is being raped and you're not supposed to be emotional. Your women, please, your women can't walk the street without some cracker putting his hands on her, and you're not supposed to be emotional. If you say that you're fed up, if you teach the Negro, they don't even know their own name. Why? Because he took it away from them. Please, please. 20 million black people don't even know their own language. Why? Because he took it away from them. 20 million black people who don't even know the history of their ancestors. Why? Because he took it away from them. And if you try and tell them how thoroughly and completely they've been robbed, he says you're teaching hate. That's something to think about. Today, you are coming out of college. You're coming out of the leading universities. You're trying to go in a good direction, but you don't know which direction to go in. And if somebody tries to take you right to the root of your problem, they say that that man's a hate teacher. If I ask why should the senators in Washington, and then again, if we tell you that Negroes are being hung on the tree or being shot down illegally, unjustly, and those Negroes should do something to protect themselves, you say you're advocating violence. The white man is tricking you. He's trapping you. He doesn't call it violence when he lands troops in South Vietnam. Please, please, please. He doesn't call it violence when he lands troops in Berlin. When the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, he didn't say get nonviolent. He said, praise the Lord, but pass the ammunition. But when someone attacks you, when someone comes at you with a club, when someone comes at you with a rope, when someone comes at you with a gun, despite the fact that you've done nothing, he tells you, suffer peacefully. Pray for those who use you despitefully. Be long-suffering. And how long can you suffer after suffering for 400 years? So I just want to clear up that little point right there, because he says that we play on your emotions. And when you turn on your television tonight, or your radio, or read the newspaper, they're going to tell you in that paper that I was playing on your emotions. Imagine you, a second-class citizen. That's not getting emotional, it's getting intelligent. And as far as your mayor is concerned, I see you should say their mayor. A man named Yorty, who has been slandering the Muslims, a professional liar. Who has mastered the art of using half-truths. Put it in the paper that they broke into our religious place of worship and got records that they can use to prove that most of us have criminal records. You can't be a Negro in America and not have a criminal record. Martin Luther King has been to jail. Please. James Farmer has been to jail. Why, you can't name a black man in this country who is sick and tired of the hell that he's catching who hasn't been to jail. Charged him with being seditious. They put Moses in jail. They put Daniel in jail. Why, you haven't got a man of God in the Bible that wasn't put to jail when they started speaking out against exploitation and oppression. They charged Jesus with sedition. Didn't they do that? They said he was against Caesar. They said he was discriminating because he told his disciples, go not the way of the Gentiles, but rather go to the lost sheep. He discriminated. Don't go near the Gentiles. Go to the lost sheep. Go to the oppressed. Go to the downtrodden. Go to the exploited. Go to the people who don't know who they are, who are lost from the knowledge of themselves, and who are strangers in a land that is not theirs. Go to those people. Go to the slaves. Go to the second-class citizens. go to the ones who are suffering the brunt of Caesar's brutality. And if Jesus were here in America today, he wouldn't be going to the white man. The white man is the oppressor. He would be going to the oppressed. He would be going to the humble. He would be going to the lowly. He would be going to the rejected and the despised. He would be going to the so-called American Negro. To have once been a criminal is no disgrace. To remain a criminal is the disgrace. I formerly was a criminal. I formerly was in prison. I'm not ashamed of that. You never can use that over my head. And that he's using the wrong stick. I don't feel that stick. I went to prison because I believed in men like Sam Yardy. I went to prison because I trusted men like Sam Yardy. I went to prison following the philosophy of men like Sam Yardy. But since I've been following the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I have been reformed, and that's more, please. That's more than Sam Yardy and Chief Parker and all these other white politicians have been able to do with the inmates in the prisons of this state. They should give Mr. Muhammad credit. They should give Mr. Muhammad credit for reforming and rehabilitating men whom they have failed to reform and rehabilitate. Mayor Yardy referred to some press report that Mr. Muhammad had once been found guilty of contributing to the delinquency of a minor. He failed to explain purposely that in 1934, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad refused to send his children to the white schools in Detroit, Michigan that were teaching you about little black Sambo. That's the minor that he contributed to the delinquency of. You see, this vicious, fork-tongued white man has been able to take lies and make you turn against those who want to help you and make others turn against you. This is the contributing to the delinquency of a minor that this mayor, or a man who calls himself mayor, is talking about. In the same article, he said that the Muslims are the same people who rioted in the United Nations. Someone should pull his coat and let him know that at the present moment, there are $6 million worth of suits leveled against two of New York's leading newspapers for making the mistake of charging the Muslims as being involved in those United Nations riots. We were not involved. And if this fork-tongued man who calls himself your mayor had taken the time to find that out, he wouldn't be walking into the trap that he's letting his ignorance lead him into. And if he would take the time to read the Washington Post that came out the Sunday after that incident took place, the Washington Post pointed out on the front page that the Muslims had nothing to do with the UN riots. And they quoted, in saying so, the person who was at that time the commissioner of police in New York City. See, it's lies that the white man has spread about the Muslims to try and make you afraid of the Muslims, or to try and make you think that the Muslims were a criminal element, an uncouth element, and things that you would not like to be associated with. Also, they say that, I'm just clearing these things up, and then we're going to get into what happened. They also say that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a draft dodger. No, he wasn't. He just refused to go to the army because he was a man of peace. He was a minister of a religion of peace. He was teaching peace. So he outright refused to go to the army. That's not draft dodging. That's intelligence. Appear before the grand jury. Because the coroner's jury is stacked against Negroes. The grand jury is stacked against Negroes. The press, the radio, the television, and the newspapers are stacked against Negroes. But we, the Los Angeles Police Department, is stacked against Negroes. He is stacked against all Negroes, all except those whom he has appointed to high positions. The controlled press, the white press, inflames the white public against Negroes. The police are able to use it to paint the Negro community as a criminal element. The police are able to use the press to make the white public think that 90% or 99% of the Negroes in the Negro community are criminals. And once the white public is convinced that most of the Negro community is a criminal element, then this automatically paves the way for the police to move into the Negro community, exercising Gestapo tactics, stopping any black man who is in the, on the sidewalk, whether he is guilty or whether he is innocent, whether he is well-dressed or whether he is poorly dressed, whether he is educated or whether he is dumb, whether he's a Christian or whether he's a Muslim, as long as he is black and a member of the Negro community, the white public thinks that the white policeman is justified in going in there and trampling on that man's civil rights and on that man's human rights. Once the police have convinced the white public that the so-called Negro community is a criminal element, they can go in and question, brutalize, murder unarmed, innocent Negroes, and the white public is gullible enough to back them up. This makes the Negro community a police state. This makes the Negro neighborhood a police state. It's the most heavily patrolled. It has more police in it than any other neighborhood. Yet it has more crime in it than any other neighborhood. How can you have more cops and more crime? Why? It shows you that the cops must be in cahoots with the criminals. The texture of the hair that God pleased, that God gave them, so much that they'll put lye on it. Do you realize, now, you know, brother, lye will eat a hole in steel, and you know your head is not that hard. Who taught you, please, who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin to such extent that you bleach to get like the white man? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet? Who taught you to hate your own kind? Who taught you to hate the race that you belong to? So much so that you don't want to be around each other. No, before you come asking Mr. Muhammad, does he teach hate, you should ask,
yet our best trained, best educated, best equipped, best prepared troops refuse to fight. Matter of fact, it's safe to say that they would rather switch than fight.
Swinging while I'm swinging, hey! Giving what you're getting, knowing what I'm knowing, while the black band's sweating, Check this out, man.
Okay, talk to me about the future of Public Enemy.
Future of Public Enemy, guys.
Say, we always say the Black Panther Party that they can do anything they want to us. We might not be back. I might be in jail. I might be anywhere. But when I leave, you can remember I said with the last words on my lips that I am a revolutionary. And you're going to have to keep on saying that. You're going to have to say that I am a proletarian. I am the people. I'm not the pig. You got to make a distinction. And the people are going to have to attack the pig. The people are going to have to stand up against the pig. That's what the Panthers are doing. That's what the Panthers are doing all over the world.
Fred.
Black power, black power, black nation. You're tuned into In Defense of the People, weekly Tuesday night radio broadcast at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, People's Political Party National Chair, Nat Turner. Co-host, Brother Motherland, National Minister of Defense, and our engineers on the ones and twos, National Minister of Communication, Sister Amina. Tune in each and every Tuesday night, same black place, same black time. If you want to get in on the conversation, dial in at 845-277-9266. Press 1 to participate. Tonight's topic, the execution of Calvin Kane, another state-backed murder. We're going to open up our phone lines to our national chair, Nat Turner, Black Power, Yuhuru, and all power to the people, comrade. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, my brother. I can hear you loud and clear. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, loud and clear, Black Power.
And we always have to do that, you know, to make sure that we can hear each other. Because, you know, our show has a tendency to get sabotaged every now and again. For some reason, go through these technical difficulties, which prevent us from being on air. So it developed as a habit in the beginning. But, Black Power to Black People, right on. We are still a displaced nation in this country. Contrary to, you know, this post-racial society bullshit based on a selection of a black president and whatnot, you know. We don't go for the okey-doke, you know, try to glaze us like a donut. we stand firm in our position. It's a revolutionary organization. We make no apologies for that at all, no way, shape, or form. That our attitude is based on a historical relationship with the dominant group that has been one, you know, trouble in the worst way. That our solution is based on the revolutionary position. Mr. has clearly shown us that oppressed peoples have had to be pushed or influenced to such a point that they become revolutionary to abolish their oppressive condition under this so-called democracy. It's attitude or philosophy or insatiable appetite under the system that we know as capitalism and understand as capitalism. And what we mean when we say the state, we credit that the state is the politician, the businessman, the judge, and the police, which work in a concerted effort, you know, to make sure that things stay in the present structure with the white ruling class at the top and the rest of us subjected to their selfish whims are not only here in America, and we spell America small a, small m, small e, small r, small I, hit the cap button, KKK, and release the cap button, and end with a small a. And that is not just some mere rhetoric or just some thing that we use to get off on ourselves or whatnot. We developed that terminology as a result of the relationship. In other words, if there was no Governor Wallace, then Malcolm X would have been irrelevant. it doesn't require a rocket scientist to realize that all the time. You know, where you have such conditions where people are placed in the position where their realities become so grim that you lead to these concrete realities based on what we understand as the material conditions. each and every one of us, to a certain point, a certain degree, are materialistic. And, you know, there's been this thing about when you say that, you know, the tendency is to, see people or stereotype them, you know, in this sense of being materialistic to where nothing else matters. That is only true to a certain extent. But the material aspect of history, which simply means that you acquire or require materials in order to exist, in order to live. You know, when someone wants their house redone on the inside, you have to get the necessary materials to do that. You know, sheetrock, joint compound, and so forth, you know. And somebody who knows how to do that work, which is referred to as carpentry. You know, but these material conditions that have been set in motion have created such a reality where the average person is on the verge of possibly losing their minds. You know, and these concrete realities lead to a particular life that pits that person against what would then be called those who keep law and order. You know, and I say that to get to this point, that what is referred to as law and order is exactly what it is, beyond all the romanticism, you know, this fictional understanding that we all have been pretty much taught as children, you know, growing up in a society that we're told is democratic, and that is the free world, you know, the civilized world. But when you peel back the layers and get to see for what it really is, like an onion, the reality is so much more different than the fiction. You know, tonight's topic, the pretty much the state back murder, you know, execution of a young brother named Calvin Kanes the third. And we wanted to discuss his murder on the part of the so-called police from a pretty much larger perspective than, you know, what has been the usual angle or you know, conclusion on these types of murders. And we want to expand on it beyond just you know, how it's reported in the news and the quest for justice. So this is what we're going to attempt to do tonight. I was looking at some of the, you know, the electronic, you know, news articles. We had spoken with his mother during the past week, and actually she was supposed to have a press conference tomorrow in what is referred to as Jefferson Parish. For those who are not familiar, Jefferson Parish in the state of Louisiana, opposite Orleans Parish, in that jurisdiction. But just some of these articles, and I thought I'd, you know, just read from one of the articles just to set the tone for what happened to him. And, of course, you know, we're very leery of the media. We're very conscious of the fact that the media is, of course, the media arm, the propaganda arm of the state. That some who are very learned in the media refer to as corporate-owned, corporate-controlled media. And that's very important when it comes to understanding a liberation struggle and how the narrative has to be controlled by the state in order to, you know, keep perpetuating itself as just, you know, justifiable homicide, you know, which goes on their international track record, which on a international scale, the state has to make sure that it keeps its hands clean or its nose clean too. You know what I'm saying? But there's a news organ referred to as The Lens, where they had the article on this young brother, and his caption titled "No Time for Him to Do Anything," which derives from his mother, Mallory Keynes, who's witness on the scene. And by the way, it just so happened to be that some would even say it's ironic that his mother had actually been in the law enforcement herself for a period of 17 years in both Jefferson Parish and Orleans Parish, and only to lose her son, you know, to the same forces. But no time for him to do anything. And of course, the, you know, the sub paragraph, 18-year-old Calvin Keynes III was killed by JPSO deputies on Tuesday in front of his mother. And of course, we're talking here the year 2023, last year, who says deputies didn't announce themselves to give him a chance to surrender. And you know, the person who wrote the piece, Katie Regdahl, you know, but the mother of the teenager killed by law enforcement in Jefferson Parish on Tuesday alleges that Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office deputies shot her son without announcing themselves or giving him a chance to surrender. Mallory Keynes, 37, is a 17-year veteran local sheriff's office, including JPSO. Witnessed the scene on Tuesday that left her 18-year-old son Calvin Keynes III shot dead at the hands of, you know, JPSO. It was all simultaneous, she said, as she watched two unmarked vehicles block off her son's car. She heard a series of gunshots. Boom, the truck hit him. The other truck hit him. And I heard shots all the same instant. You know, meaning the, you know, what some of us say, you know, they dumped on the little brother, and, you know, didn't even have a chance. In other words, you know, She feels like the sheriff's office immediately made an effort to cover up the truth. While she heard the gunshots at around 3 p.m., she was kept in the squad car until about 5 p.m. without any updates on her son's status, other than to say that he was fine. I believe that they won 2 hours. I waited 2 hours to tell me that my son was dead. The story contradicts the narrative, you know, described by, you know, and I'm going to, you know, improvise here, you know, you know, along the way. But, you know, her story contradicts, you know, the Jefferson pigs and stuff. The head pig named Joe LaPinto. And we say pig on purpose, for a purpose. You know what I'm saying? Real talk. You know, just like we say nigger, you know, on the street. You know what I'm saying? And other terms that we developed as a relationship, of as a result of an irreconcilable relationship with the state. You see what I'm saying? We said earlier this week that Calvin Cain's had reversed and was preparing to drive into the officer when one of them opened fire. Now, you know, his mother had said that, you know, she was, you know, approaching, you know, her residence in the Lumiere Apartments, which is on the West Bank. And, you know, that her son, yet she had been FaceTiming him, you know, in the process, and yet come out of, you know, the apartment, you know, and, you know, made his way to his car, you know. And so this is the story about Pig LaPinto claiming that Calvin Cain's had reversed and was preparing to drive into the officers when one of them opened fire. His mother said that no way that there's truth. He had just gotten into the car. There was no time for him to do anything and for them to react. They shot him immediately in the head through the windshield, which is what she told us when we had, you know, we had talked with her. Just after 3 p.m., you know, Cain's, she was on her way home with her six-year-old son, Calvin's little brother. She pulled into the driveway of the Lumiere Apartments on the West Esplanade Avenue, where she resides in building 20. She expected to arrive home and see Calvin, whom they called Trey. And as I said, she had, you know, been on FaceTime with him, you know, while she was at work and whatnot. You know, she was on her way home. She'd stop to get something, you know, whatever, from the store. Calvin was a graduate of Booker T. Washington High School in New Orleans. You know, he'd lived with his, you know, girlfriend and whatnot. But, you know, it often, you know, stopped, you know, by his mom and stuff, you know, maybe to do laundry or something, or just see her. So, you know, she had, you know, did what she had to do for him to be able to, you know, get in, you know, to the apartment while she was at work. And then, you know, she'd get off and whatnot, you know, expect to see her son. When she reached building 13 by the leasing office, an unmarked small pickup truck pulled out to follow her. And the deputy got out, ran toward her and asked her to stop. Mallory, he asked. You know, in other words, she, you know, said his name. His tone was very serious, she said. She stepped out of the car. She followed the directions. The officer looked in the car. You know, she saw it was just her little, smallest son there. She asked him, you know, which was all right, you know, what's going on and whatnot, you know. And we, you know, Pig, tell her that, you know, they're looking for a son or whatever, you know, and has she seen us? Now, the original JPO, the Pig, Jefferson Pig statement, that was emailed to press. Now, this is what we mean when we say, you know, the media is an arm, is the propaganda arm of the state. And this is very important. And this is very important because how does the media get the story, you know, posted in electronic media and then, of course, in their newspaper, right? They have to get the story from the Pig. So we know right then and there that it's a hand and glove relationship, you know, unless one of these reporters somehow, some kind of way, you know, may feel something wrong with the story and go off on his or her own investigative journalism and discover, you know, grave consistencies. And that has been the case a number of times, you know, around the country, you know, with past state-backed murders of unarmed black men. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, said that Calvin Kane III walked out of the building as they were doing surveillance on a Toyota C-HR, which they believe was involved in a shooting in New Orleans. But the question of his mother and later statements make clear that they were on the hunt, not only for the Toyota, but for Kane. And this is the climate, this is the nature of what has developed specifically in Jefferson Parish. And of course, there's been, you know, a number of other state-backed murders, you know, in that jurisdiction. And some, you know, have fortunately, you know, made, you know, national news, you know. And so this is a pattern. And we want to take this pattern and tie this pattern into, like we say, into a larger context, into a larger understanding, something that Malcolm X was actually in the process of putting in the play, in the motion, which is actually why, you know, he was murdered, you know, overall, you know. But so this is no happenstance thing. One would realize that there's some type of a familiar relationship between, you know, the pigs and little Calvin, you know, little brother Calvin, right? And we'll say this for the record, regardless what, you know, they allege, his street activities or whatever. You know, as we said, that the you know, the material conditions lead to such concrete realities, you know. But regardless, we don't see that as you know, he got what he deserved, or you know, some people say, you know, you live by the gun, die by the gun. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to subscribe to that. We like I said, we'll lay it out in the perspective, reminding everybody that we're supposed to be living in the civilized world. You know, this, you know, the free world, democracy and whatnot. And the pigs always contradict this notion, this you know, this knight in shining armor sort of imagery, you know, where the hero comes and rescues the damsel in distress and, you know, he ride off into the sunset. You know what I'm saying? But, after the shooting, like I said, you know, they, So, you know, the Jefferson Parish pigs, you know, noted that Keynes was wanted for a warrant out of Orleans Parish associated with an aggravated battery on June 4th and whatnot, you know, involved in a shooting or whatever, stuff like that, you know. But these are the type of tactics that, the, you know, the pigs utilize to publicly persecute him, or to persecute him in public. In other words, the strategy to portray him, or to project him onto our psyche as a you know, a dangerous, brutal, you know, street thug, you know, all the adjectives that they use, you know, you know, the Jesse James types, you know what I'm saying? You know, and so by time they get finished, there was no remorse for what was done to him, you know, put him 6 feet under and be done with it. You know, exonerate, you know, these pigs who, they were heroes. They neutralized another dangerous criminal. They put down another threat to our freedoms, to our society. They safeguarded our communities once again, which is what, you know, their job is supposed to be about. And so this is a strategy, this is a tactic. And it's also a sign. It's also a sign of a subtle sign of guilt, of guilt, you know. But that's the usual thing that they resort to when things become questionable, you know. And so Lepinto, Pig Lepinto, goes on. Canes was also known to them related to pride cases, nearly all related to guns and drugs. See, this is what we mean by the propaganda arm of the state. The media's role is to do what? They have a specific role, a job, and a responsibility to take care of. By the time Pig Lepinto get through reading or disseminating this rap sheet, then we've been and forgot what happened to him. You know, we've been and forgot, you know, this, his murder. And that is how it works. That is how it works. You know, and so Pig Lepinto, this thing about he put his car in the gear, forcing deputies to fire on him in his car. Kane put one of our deputies' lives in danger, said Pig Lepinto, who described the shooting as proper force. You know, but his mother refused that story. You know, who said that she is comfortable with law enforcement because, as I said, you know, she had, you know, she was familiar with, you know, law enforcement codes of operation. You know, the channels that they go through to arrest or apprehend a suspect, such as, you know, apprehending them, properly arresting them, reading them their Miranda rights, and bringing them in for questioning and so forth. And of course, if feeling that they had enough evidence to hold him, you know, overnight or what have you. So she was familiar with all of that and how the procedure goes to use what they would refer to as deadly force. You know, just as she was about to answer the deputy who stopped the car, she saw Calvin come out of the front doors of Building 20. If she had known what was about to happen, she had told us that she would have called out to her son. But she said that her son wasn't that type, but, you know, he would, you know, try to, you know, break out and run or whatever, stuff like that. You know, that, you know, he surrendered himself. That's her son. She knows him better than anybody else.
Black power, gentlemen.
No. Yeah, go ahead, time what we got.
I just wanted to let the callers know if you had a question or a comment or you want to get in on topic, just press 1 to get you in here.
Yeah, right on. Right on, straight up. Yeah, that's what it's about. You know, but, you know, she refused the story, you know. And she, you know, understanding, you know, the procedures, you know, she said she didn't want to, you know, interrupt in their job, you know, and whatnot, you know, that they would call obstruction, right? You know, and she knew the protocols if faced with that, you know, using deadly force. All right. She never saw the situation in front of her rise at that level. As soon as he climbed into the Toyota, she saw an unmarked white F-150 coming right toward the front of the car so fast that she thought they was going to, you know, smash into the vehicle head on. At the same time, another truck, an unmarked Toyota RAV4. She believes, you know, that she can, you know, remember, was moving just fast toward, you know, from the driver's side. Simultaneously, she heard gunshots. It was all the same. It was an incident. It happened so fast, which means that the young brother most likely didn't even get a chance to put his key in the ignition and turn his car on, happening that fast, you know. And we have to be conscious enough to understand this, if not remember or refresh our memories, that the pigs practice that type of setup. They practice that type of scenario. okay? Like they practice the scenario of using planes to crash into the World Trade Center. So what did they do? They mock, you know, run at it. And so they can prepare for it. You know, how fast that they can, you know, get the F-1, whatever, the F-16 fighter jets in the, you know, in the sky from this, you know, base that's 40 miles from whatnot, or 100 miles or 10 miles, and how, you know, reaction time and, you know, maneuvers and all this kind of shit. They practice these scenarios, these potential scenarios, in other words, in anticipation of. You know, because nobody just roll up like that. They don't just roll up like that shit. And where was this F-150 at? You know, it just dropped out of the sky? What, it just, you know, came up out of the ground? Or it just happened to be in the right place at the right time? And where was the RAV-4 at, too? It had to have been somewhere. You see? So there's a whole orchestrated effort. There's a whole orchestrated campaign here. See what I'm saying? Real tough. Yeah, we leave no stone unturned. We leave no stone unturned. She rushed to cover her young son's eyes while feeling terror about her son's condition. But a female NOPD pig came to her location and told her that her son was all right. Trust me, he's not shot. I mean, it's an amazing display. You know, the most blatant disrespect or disregard for a human being that you can encounter to tell someone he's all right, he's not shot. You know, I mean, all of us, you know, we're not as dumb or as illiterate or as stupid as this imagery that's been put out there, or you know. These white intellectuals, this thing that has been projected, you know, believing in this intellectual superiority, where you know you get yourself so enamored by it that you can spin a story to the ones that you see as less intelligent than you, and they'll go for it anyway. That kind of shit there. You know, I mean, it's amazing. You know, it's amazing. So, you know, as she has said, you know, that the person who was on FaceTime with her son recounted the same timeline, right? The caller heard Calvin Kane say, oh, shit, it's the people, followed by gunshots. Then the phone went silent. And we don't shun saying that we don't hide that. Because I stand how it go. You know, you tell a story, for what it is. You know, so we don't leave no strength, you know, for the state to pull in the legal realm, you know, in the courtroom and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? The question is, what does that mean anyway? This statement, does that justify murdering him? You see, does that justify taking his life? Does that justify robbing a mother of her older son? You know. Of course, you know they talk about, you know, how since this pig was in another jurisdiction, you know, they did not respond to questions about the incidents. You know, and so forth. But she saw green smoke around the Toyota that her son was driving from smoke grenades, she was told. Deputies started to walk toward the Toyota with SWAT team shields and AR-15 rifles. She was told to back her car into a parking spot by the leasing office and was ushered into the back of another unmarked car. And what does that sound like, you know? But now she believed the lies had started. That's when they started to play with me. You know, right on, you know. she instructed to call her son as if she was instructed to call her son as if he was resisting arrest. You see the type of psyop they was trying to run on her, you know, to get her to believe otherwise. So they were trying to get her believe. They were trying to get her to believe otherwise because they was constructing a narrative. They was constructing a narrative. It's no different than when they constructed the narrative about what happened on 9/11. It's the same strategy. It's the same tactic. She called and called with no answer. Instead, she sat in the squad car for the next 2 hours. Now, the question is, why would she sit in the squad car for 2 hours? You know, of course, she was terrified about what was happening, but wanted to remain calm because of her younger son. And under the impression that everything was okay, you know, she says that she believed in what this, you know, Norris Pig told her, right? At one point, she heard one of the officers make a loud, amplified announcement. Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office, get out of the car. So they're, you know, they're further trying to bend the story. Because, in other words, they need all that on the transcripts, whether it's audio or with possible witnesses. You see, so for future reference, if there may have been a witness in doing the sweep, then that witness for future reference would appear on the stand and say what they heard the officer say, which does what? Which gives the impression that little brother Calvin was still alive. And that can make it appear that he was being rebellious on one end, which means that that would give them the perception, get this, that would give them the perception that they was going by the book. See, some of us can't think. We could even out-philosophize them. See, that would give them the perception that they was going by the book, which is what she said. That's part of the whole attempt at a cover-up. The art of deflection away from what actually happened. Now she wonders if that announcement and her instructions to call him was simply what? Theater. That's right. Theater. A staged performance. A stage play. She heard no more shots, so she thought the deputies must have taken her son into custody. You see that? Because you got to remember that they kept her from a line of sight. In other words, they obstructed her view. So if she couldn't see, and then they tried to put her on the stand and try to refute what she said she saw for future reference. You see what I'm saying? So this is why they placed her in that pig squad car. Because it was already, what? Premeditated. Remember that as she was driving up to her place of residence, here come this pig. So everybody was strategically placed already. And this pig must have obviously one or two things. Must have noticed her. Noticed her car, knew her license plate, right, which afforded him the luxury to call her name and recognize the vehicle she was driving in. or doing what? Using GPS on her and the son, and even FaceTime. So it was a whole orchestrated affair. No one told her about him having a weapon in the car, she said. And physically, her son is small. He only weighs about 110 pounds, she said. She didn't believe that he's someone who would naturally instill fear in people. An ambulance later arrived 30 to 40 minutes later, she's guessing, after she'd heard the shots. It ended up leaving with no sirens on. Now, what's that all about? How do you mix in this thing about get out of the car like you're giving a command and the ambulance leave with no sirens on, like it's in no rush to get to the hospital as though to try to resuscitate him? So is it making any sense? Remember that the pig said, oh, he's not shot, don't worry. So in order for that to take place, for him to be in the ambulance, what would happen? It contradicts her telling the sister that he wasn't shot, when in actuality, that was the case. And she knew it from the beginning. And this could happen. This could happen to the average person if they're not aware of it, if they're not already conscious of how the pigs operate, using psyops on people. There's been several cases before. There's been other cases before. The same scenario. Same similar scenario. So this is no new shit. This is no new shit. And just before 5 p.m., a male detective from the NOPD came to speak with her. And she's asking him, what's going on? Pig said, Calvin, it's fine. Let's go into the leasing office. I know you're sick of sitting in the car. There's someone offered them water. It is amazing. Is an amazing feat of a cover-up, you know? And you'd have to ask yourself, why? You know? Is it the fact that she was, according to her, I think if I can remember Conrad, she said, what, 15 feet, 25 feet, something like that or whatever? You know, she was, like, damn near to her apartment door, like, you know? You know, in other words, parallel driving to the apartment, you know, that she stays in, you know. Then the same officer looked her in the eyes and told her, I don't know how else to say it. He didn't make it. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Let's go back. Calvin is fine. Then the same officer told her, I don't know how to say it to you. He didn't make it. Does that sound right? Does that sound right? You know, that's like me telling you, it's 3 in the evening. And it's daylight. But unfortunately, in 5 minutes, it's going to be pitch black. You know? He had been making regular court appearance for other charges he was facing. He wasn't hiding from them or nothing. You know? But again, the question is, does that mean he should have been executed the way that he was? Does that give a right to execute him the way that they did? You see the mob. You know, that's the mafia does those types of hits. You know, the mafia does them. The government does them around the world. You know, it's the same style execution. This is why we refer to it as an execution. Why we refer to it as execution. No, we ain't going to say he was killed. We're going to say he was executed because we give them no comfort in saying the word killed. Period. We don't say police. We see it as a political thing, as a political relationship. It's a relationship based on a political theme in this country with people of African descent, black and brown indigenous people. It's clear as night, isn't it? It is what it is. The only problem that we feel that we've been having is the solution. And what type of a attitude, ideology, philosophy that we must take to eradicate these state-backed murders. What has history clearly shown us? And then, of course, you know, they go on, you know, about these court records and whatnot. You know, as I said, to try to deflect, you know, what happened, from what happened to him. We're not interested in no goddamn court records. We're not interested in none of that shit. Our interest is his murder. You know, the ambulance didn't come there and ask for no fucking records. They didn't come there and ask for no rap sheet. They came there for his body. And of course, did his pig, he was all right. So, which made it appear that, oh, they got him in the ambulance. He can survive the shit. But there was no urgency. Ambulance left with no lights and no loud ass sound, no siren blaring. You know, that's what we're interested in. We're not going to fall for that okey-doke shit, you know, just villainizing him. So, you know, the white people in suburbia or the white people that live in Mandeville, Louisiana, or what they call Lakefront Louisiana, you know, can chalk another one up, you know, as some black thug off the street, you know, or at least locked up behind bars and kept our city safe, you know. Yeah, we ain't gonna go for that shit. And then, of course, there's this pig captain, Jason Rivardi, Jefferson Parry, said that to preserve the sanctity of the investigation. This is amazing shit right here. This is absolutely amazing shit. That to preserve the sanctity of the investigation, he couldn't release any additional information except what had already been released. So what did he release? To preserve the sanctity of the investigation. Anybody want to tell me what the word sanctity means? The sanctity of the investigation. Now all of a sudden they're holier than thou. Because there's a word called sanctuary. And when you go to a sanctuary, what do? So now they're holier than thou. And this is the usual shit. This is the usual tactic. Now it's cosmetics time. No, not cosmetics. It's, well, you can kind of say that, but it is the appearance of perception. You know, this ain't Russia. You know, this ain't China. This ain't North Korea, you know, where these atrocities happen. People are being murdered and all this type of shit that they try to get you to believe about some regime in Korea. You know, because the Koreans don't go for their bullshit. They, you know, they can stand on their own. Economically, politically, and everything else, you know. But you know, it's the same tactic. You know, it's similar to the Constitution. you know, these beautifully employed, you know, utilized tongues, you know. Some of you, you know, the usual shit, you know. The usual shit. He couldn't release any additional information except what had already been released. The investigation is ongoing. There's one group that is investigating. That's us. Anything else is speculation. That's the bottom line. Ain't that something? Anything else is speculation. That's the bottom line. So this is what I mean. This is the attempt to persuade the public that the mother don't know what the hell she's talking about. That she didn't see what she actually saying she saw. That therefore, it amounts to speculation. Anything else is speculation. So what would the anything else require to beside the mother? Perhaps another witness? So what is speculation? What is that? Oh, some black people, some black group who decides to reach out to the mother, the family, you know, and alliance themselves with the family, and they do what? Perhaps a protest, a demonstration, and they put out a version that would contradict this, so therefore they would chalk that up as speculation. Why would a wolf investigate the wolves for slaughtering some sheep? Why would they do that? Would a Crip convict another Crip for doing a tell that member's family that they investigate? And expect that investigation to be nonpartisan? We would have to be out of our fucking minds to believe that shit. Something would have to be wrong with us. I can't make this shit up. If anybody can, try to get it from another angle and let it make sense, please do. With all the reason in the world. But the one thing is this here. Don't try to use logic. There's one group that is investigating. That's us. Anything else is speculation, that's the bottom line. He was telling you right there. You were letting everybody know from one right there. Playing what it is right there. Straight up. You don't like it? So be it. Take the fucking crown. None of the deputies involved have been named by the department. That's the usual thing. Pig Lepanto has said that two of them were wearing body cameras and that footage will be reviewed. That's the usual thing. It's nothing new. We've been on that land many a times. We can go back to Laquan McDonald, who was murdered and executed in Chicago. You know what, going on, what, 8, 9, 10 years ago? We can go back to him. And what did they do? How long did it take for them to finally release the footage? Your story, as you tell, is what it is. How long does it take you to release something that's just so simple and plain, like you tell it? If there's no discrepancies in your story, there's no holes, why would you, you know, do all this acrobatics with the body cam? You know, I wouldn't have shit to worry about. If I told the freaking story and I said, look, all that's on camera. Here you go. So what is the rationale for this episode with the camera. And the only thing that a rational-minded person could think of, or that you can only come to reason, buying time. So you can make the narrative that you constructed run congruent with the camera footage. And you can take angles of the camera footage and only give this piece so it can run congruent with the story that you constructed. It's no new shit. It's no new shit. None whatsoever. In a statement, ACLU of Louisiana, American Civil Liberties Union, that's what that is, who has pushed for a federal investigation into these pigs over racist police and an excessive force, called on the department to immediately release the body camera and any dash cam footage of the incident. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen. If you went to China and trying to speak to the Chinese people in English, and all they understand is Chinese, what do you expect that? What do you expect them to do? What do you expect them to do? Let's understand this. In real time, in the real world, there are certain organizations, certain formations that may get looked at and viewed from another angle, unlike the rest. And maybe may become even the problem. And we've had people in our midst that have demonstrated that historically. Now, ACLU was supposed to be this group. They tell us that we have all of these rights and that there's these various agencies that we can turn to. And that's one of them. But let's be realistic. The limitations are short and quick. We've been down that road for so long that a lot of us have become so numb to that shit, we don't even bother. There's been so many brothers and sisters out there in the real world that have been abused by the pigs to the point they won't have any confidence in any of those so-called federal agencies at all, period. Which therefore means that they're telling you that they're virtually on their own. And they go on. Public safety in Louisiana will not improve if police are not held accountable for their actions. We cannot continue this pattern of police violence and the repeated failure to investigate excessive force adequately. So if we can't continue this pattern of police violence and the repeated failure of investigating excessive force adequately, then how do we eradicate it? How does it stop? What, some miraculous event that just drops out of the sky? How does it stop? No. And we're at the precipice as black people in this country. We're at the precipice. It is what it is. This is a war against black men specifically, and war against black people in general on a larger context. a war against black and brown indigenous people, period. Those pigs did not see Calvin Keynes III as a human being. They saw Calvin Keynes III as an enemy combatant. No different than when those military pigs was in Kuwait, in Desert Storm, 300 yards across from them. They saw enemy combatants in a war. Don't get it twisted, because a motherfucker ain't wearing no fatigues, you know, and some boots, and got an M16 in his hand and a helmet on. That is the only definition of war. There's many forms of war. The objective is the same. An enemy. And this is why the relationship between black people and the pigs has been the way it's been since the plantation. The pig on the horse with the shotgun is no different than the pig in the cruiser with the semi-automatic on his waist. The objective is the same, to serve and protect. Who was the overseer serving and protecting on the plantation? Anybody want to answer that? The objective is the same. The goal is the same. Because of the structure of capitalism, it's the same. There's no difference. I said earlier that this scenario ain't no new shit, that this is a scenario that's been utilized by the pigs. If we go back to 2004, had this brother named Joseph Williams. He was known as Shotgun Joe, and he was a member of the Hot 8 Brass Band. For those of you who are not familiar with the brass bands in New Orleans, and of course, it's made its way around the world. You know, these brass bands, you know, they play, you know, a certain type of music, you know. You may see these brass bands partaking in what's referred to as second lines and whatnot, you know. This particular New Orleans black culture is a development out of the 40s when you had the 40s and 50s, you know, you had Louis Armstrong, you know, all these jazz musicians who played a particular type of jazz music, you know, bebop, you know, Scott Joplin and people like that that go back in history, you know. But Shotgun Joe was a member of the Hot 8 Brass Band, and he was murdered by the NOPD, the so-called NOPD. And the storyline goes that Shotgun Joe was in a truck and tried to use the truck as a battering ram or to run over officers. And so they dumped on him. And someone had said that if that was the case, then why not shoot out the tires to incapacitate the truck? So much so that the truck wouldn't stand the chance of getting anywhere but a certain amount of feet. And so that was as a result of his murder. And there were, you know, persons who stepped forward and the same thing, you know, sought charges on the part of the pigs for his murder. So we can go back at least that far in Orleans Parish. On the other side, 2019, you had Chris Joseph and Devari Robertson at a IHOP in the parking lot. Same scenario. Same scenario, like they rolled up on Calvin Keynes and got out and just started shooting. you know, box the car in, guys start shooting. And they claim that the driver, who was Chris Joseph, put the car in reverse and attempted to back up into the officer, you know, or what have you. Now, in the affidavit, it says that, and I quote, I can't make this shit up. It says at a high rate of speed. And there was this black truck, you know. I can't specifically remember which model, but I wouldn't be surprised if that was an F-150. But it was a black truck. Same thing. So the question is, according to the affidavit, that their report says at a high rate of speed, then why wasn't the truck fucked up behind them? Why wasn't the back of the car smashed up? Why wasn't the taillights broken? If at a high rate of speed, in reverse. You know? So the same constructing of a narrative. And of course, initially they claimed the drugs and guns thing, you know. Found none of that. You know? So it's nothing new. You know? This young brother is just one of the latest victims. You know, in their minds, it's what's called casualties of war. And that may be some brutal language to use. But if you put your mind, your psyche, in the mentality of those Jefferson pigs, you'd understand better. You could grasp it better. They don't qualify every some odd period of time for nothing. You know, every so they have to, you know, go and show that they still, you know, good with that hammer. That they're still precise with the hammer. Like in Training Day when Alonzo told the good white pig, well, he told him when he was in the apartment where it was over there by his girl in the hood, he told him that he was precise with it, right? Yeah. So they got to qualify periodically. And you see that, you know, the silhouette of a target, you know, right in the inside the range. You know. Paper's white, but the target is jet black. You know. In their subconscious, what do you think they're seeing? This is where we at with it. We're gonna take you further. In their subconscious, what you think is death? If you think about that and just go back in time and look at all of so-called police murders of unarmed black men, who do you think is the cause for that? That's no coincidence. None whatsoever. That shit's by design. It's something that drives that from a psychological perspective. And we haven't been given enough of that. We haven't been exposed to enough of that to really get the shit. It will heighten our consciousness and heighten our response. Cause and effect for all of that. Unless we all crazy. You know, just out of our minds. You know? But there's so much into that. That silhouette don't move anatomically. So in their subconscious, the only thing left is the shit that moves in real time and a heightened response, which creates a drive to pull that trigger. Because they see nigger. They see enemy combatant. They've been instructed in that kind of thought process. All this shit about the academy, this picture that they paint, you know. And again, you know, the sister, you know, she went through that. You know, somebody who's going through could tell you, okay, well, yeah, well, in the academy, you know, they teach you this, they teach you that, and whatnot. And you say, well, what about ethics and morals and, you know, and all that kind of shit, you know, right? Yeah, on paper. Of course, yeah, you know, you got some, you know, black, white, Latino, like in New York, they get a fucking whole, you know, it's a huge police force. And a lot of those is, you know, whatever they call them, you know, Puerto Ricans or whatever, you know, Latino people, whatever, you know. So, you know, it's a whole thing to it. It's a whole thing to that shit. But this scenario is nothing new. Alton Sterling's murder. Oh, he's reaching. That's the other one. They murdered Philando Castile in front of his queen and child after he told them he was, you know, he told the officer, yes, I have a weapon, and I'm, you know, he asked for his license, whatever, you know, identification, and he literally told his pig, you know, that he was, you know, getting his, retrieving his license, and what happened? What happened to him? You take Oscar Grant in the Oakland subway, handcuffed, face down. That still wasn't enough. What drove that pig to murder that brother by shooting him in his back? What drove him to do it? Oscar Grant was that bad? You had him handcuffed and you still were scared? Get the fuck out of here. There's something behind that. We gonna have to accept it. Because I know a lot of us understand it. It's the acceptance stage to the shit. That's the problem. That's what it is. It's just like an alcoholic who's an alcoholic who doesn't want to know and understand that he's an alcoholic until he understands he's an alcoholic in order to be able to fucking beat the shit. Do I need to say that again? That's an example of what we're talking about, the acceptance stage. In the final analysis, how do we chalk this up? Human rights violations. Now, the Europeans want to control what that is. They want to control what war crimes is. You know, like they wrote the Constitution and like a bunch of niggas was in there with them behind closed doors by a bunch of fucking stockholders. And lawyers, you know, that's why some white people ticked off. Some white people mad. You got some white people right now. They'll tell you right now, oh, that shit wasn't written for us either. It's about class. You know, it's a class thing. You know, yeah, for you, it's a class thing. We don't disagree with that shit. But war crimes, human rights violations, you know, this thing, this august body that they claim they set up after World War II, World War II wasn't nothing but a divisioning of the spoils, a dividing up of the earth, and having holdings on the part of motherfuckers who want to have empires. The Japanese, the British, the Americans, the French, all of that. That's all it was. The Russians, that's all it was. It had nothing to do with all that other shit that they tell you about the evil actions and whatnot. But I say that because after that, they set up this thing called the League of Nations. And then the American branch of the shit, they didn't want no part of it because it didn't suit them. It didn't suit their own selfish ambitions. So what they did, they took that shit back to the drawing board and then created the United Nations. And then it's okay, well, that'll work. And then they call themselves trying to create all these laws and all these things and whatnot. And inside that is the definition of what genocide is, human rights violations, and whatnot. And we don't even understand in this country, and again, due to the leadership that has only taken us barely to first base. In the game of baseball, you only score a run when you get the home plate. You can stay on first base all you want. I've seen baseball games where the team just kept getting hits and hits and hits, and they got as far as the third base, the base got loaded. The bases got loaded, but the next dude couldn't even get no runs home. didn't have no outs, and they still didn't get any goddamn points. None whatsoever. So we don't even realize this UN shit. They, you know, let me say this. I'm not speaking like, you know, we have faith in that shit. You know, we don't, no, we're saying this for a purpose, just to get our people to understand, okay, well, you want to go to DOJ, huh? You want, okay, well, get what? Go over their head. Go over their head. Don't go to Wendy's and get into a little argument with the cashier. No, ask for the freaking manager. And if the manager tripping, get the goddamn number to the corporation. This is what we're saying. Put them in an international spotlight. Because for the longest, America has done what with media propaganda? Portrayed themselves as what? The hallmarks of democracy? And so they call themselves trying to transport democracy around the world. They claimed that it was going to Iraq and bringing the people democracy. They claimed it was going to Afghanistan, bringing the people democracy. They claimed it was going to Pakistan. You can't name me a place on this planet that they've succeeded in doing it. Name one. Like some people say, well, you know, a lot of people die for your right to vote. I tell them, name five. And I'll start you off with one. And I don't say that out of arrogance. We say this shit because we do our homework. We ain't just speaking out the side of our ass or side of our neck or whatever. You know, so this UN thing, they set up all these things. They got all these laws and bylaws and whatnot, subdivisions and codes and dashes, this, that, and all this kind of stuff. So if you look at it, you see what country would be, when defined as genocide and human rights violation, right? And that country would come under international criminal court, right? They tried it Saddam Hussein in front of everybody. They did it to Slobodan Milosevic for Yugoslavia. Gave them the death penalty. But they brought them before the International Crimes Court. Like right now, people is just, you know, everybody's going ham over Netanyahu, what Israel doing to Palestine. You see the shit, right? Every law, human rights violation, genocide, the Israelis is fucking breaking it right now. Right now. And that's what I'm saying. By definition, by understanding of those two, that this government is guilty of human rights violations and acts of genocide. The systemic, intentional destruction of a group, race, ethnic, or whatever the race, ethnicity, and all ethnic race, and all this other shit. Yeah. And there's a book back in the 50s, the 60s, and Malcolm X, you know, like I said, he was on it. He was on this shit. He was on it. He was on it. But there was there was some other lesser known persons, you know, that were doing, you know, this extraordinary work behind the scenes. You know, while those of us who are now in our 50s and whatnot, you know, parents, you know, was, you know, young back then and whatnot, you know, they 20s and whatnot, you know, so forth, right, 30s, 20s. And so, you know, even some in their late teens and whatnot, you know. But back then, the socialization of leadership was presented as Martin Luther King. But there were other people who were also putting in work. And what this group did, they decided to do what I'm saying now. So what I'm saying ain't new. They shifted their attention from this U.S. government shit and segregation, Jim Crow and all this kind of shit, racism and Klan. No, they said, you know what? We going to compile for our evidence to charge this government with crimes against humanity and genocide. And so you know what they did? They wrote a book called We Charge Genocide. the crime of government against the Negro people. That was the term that was used then to describe a group of people referred to as the Negro people. Those of us who was born at least up to maybe 1970, I don't know, it may have went on into the 70s. On our birth certificate, we have Negro, right? So they put this book together, and they did some impeccable research. The subtitle says this, the historic petition to the United Nations for relief from a crime of the United States government against the Negro people. Let me read that again. The historic petition to the United Nations for relief from a crime of the United States government against the Negro people. And they compiled a list, the murders of black men. And it goes back. Let's see. I have a copy of it here. Goes back to 1945, at least. And there were, you know, like I say, other individuals. They have here Dr. Ralph Bunche, who some of, when we was coming up, you know, we was told that was one of our heroes in the 70s, you know, as little children, you know. But in the book, they have what's called the law and the indictment. And then they give you, you know, why the Genocide Convention was passed, its provisions as an extension of the Charter of the United Nations, its relation to American law, our right of petition, the duty of the General Assembly to bear our complaint, precedents for hearing it, and the indictment of the government of the United States of America for the crime of genocide against the Negro people, the United States. And then they go into, you know, into the business. They give you the article, you know, Article 4, Article 6 and whatnot. And, you know, and this is what, like South Africa, you know, this fictitious country called South Africa, rather. I think was the first country to charge the Israeli government with war crimes, crimes against humanity. You know, the Chinese come behind them. And get this, the Chinese put it in perspective. They put it even in the further perspective and says, according to their own UN international law, their own laws that would justify defending oneself, right? And the Chinese focused specifically on that, and he wrote, and their leader, he read from their own shit. And they concluded that the Palestinian people have the right to bear arms to liberate themselves by whatever means against what's taking place against them in Gaza or what have you. And see, they were having a problem with that. They were having a problem with it. But you know what he was doing? He was reminding them of their own shit. And he put them in a predicament for the world to see. And I don't mean this lily white world of Europe. I'm talking about the world which is Madonna, which is predominantly black and brown people, non-whites around the world. Even in some places we may not even be able to find on the map. You know, so taking it to a high context, and this is what they was doing. And in the back, they give you the cities. They give you specific names of the persons, you know, that were murdered. And all the violations, you know, their so-called constitutional right, you know, the vote and whatnot, you know, the whole shit, you know, around the country. And this was impeccable research. And this is what Malcolm X was on the verge of doing. and William Patterson, one of the lesser known persons who was involved in it. And look, it says United States District Court for the District of Columbia, the United States of America versus William L. Patterson. Offer of proof on 14th Amendment point. And so they knew that shit. So we want to seek some type of relief or justice. Let's go over their heads with it. Those of us who have the necessary resources can step forward. Because a lot of us been doing the footwork for the longest, boots on the ground. And that's what we want to do. Add little brother Calvin Kane's name to the list. From 1945, at least, to 2024 has been how many years? We talking 70-something years that has been taking place. The Ku Klux Klan is the unofficial arm of the state. Because if they wasn't, they would have destroyed them or dismantled them to the point where they may not have been able to recover in such a sense like the Black Panther Party was subjected to by the counterintelligence program led by J. Edgar Hoover. And it was a difference in ideology, something that the Black Panther Party understood, not only within the jurisdiction of America, but internationally. Some even referred to them or knew them as the children of Malcolm. And so we place Calvin Kane's name on that list as one of the latest victims of these human rights violations that this government has been part and parcel of by backing the killers, the murderers, the executioners. So on that note, we say black power, all power to the people, you will rule. In Defense of the People Radio, brought to you by People's Political Party, Chairman Nat, one of your hosts, my co-host, Brother Motherland, our Minister of Defense, and our assault technician on the ones too, Sister Amado Shun, who makes a lot of things happen behind the scenes, you know, that's invaluable to us. And we'll be black next week, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, and we hope that we've done a good enough job to continue to raise our people's conscious level do what we refer to as political education. We out.
Right about now, NWA borders in full effect. Judge Dre residing. In the case of NWA versus the police department, prosecuting attorneys are MC Ren, Ice Cube, and Easy motherfucking E.
Order, order, order. Ice Cube, take the motherfucking stand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help your black ass?
You goddamn right.
But won't you tell everybody what the fuck you gotta say?
Fuck the police coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad cause I'm brown. And not the other color, so police think they have the authority to kill a minority. Fuck that dick cause I ain't the one for a punk motherfucker with a badge and a gun to be beaten on. And thrown in jail, we can go toe to toe in the middle of a sale. Fucking with me cause I'm a teenager with a little bit of gold and a pager. Searching my car, looking for the product. Thinking every nigga is selling narcotics. You'd rather see me in the pen than me and Lorenzo rolling in a Benzo. Be the police out of shape, and when I finish, bring the yellow tape to take off the scene of the slaughter. Still getting swole up bread and water. I don't know if they fags or what. Such a nigga down and grabbing his nuts. And on the other hand, without a gun, it can't get none. But don't let it be a black and a white one, cause they'll slam you down to the street top. Black police showing out for the white cops.